Okay, hope everybody is doing well. Less than 24 hours from now, of course, we'll be here, significantly less than 24 hours at this point, 22 hours from now or so, we'll be here, of course, for Kol Nidre. So that would be very appropriate for us in this Tanakh series to discuss the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. And the Haftorah of Yom Kippur is really about what it means to fast. You know, what does it really mean to fast? So some of us were discussing before Maariv that one of the ways that the Rambam thinks about fasting or sort of disregarding the body is kind of a transcendence of this world. The next world that we pass on from this world is not a world of corporeality, a world of bodies. And since that was the Rambam's very strongly held view, so the Rambam talks about Yom Kippur in Olam Haba type terms. It really is kind of, as we would say, Me'ein Olam Haba. It's not really of this world, but it's kind of communing with God in a way that's of the next world, where we're not going to be eating and drinking and engaging in human relations, etc., and our bodies won't even exist. So it's a way of sort of transcending that. So Yeshayahu offers a completely different perspective on what it means to fast. And if the Haftorah seems sardonic, it's because it's a deep critique of how the notion or the very concept of fasting had become completely degraded within the Jewish community. In other words, you might say, fasting is like a ritual. Like, if I do X, then God will be happy. Let's say, you know, if I throw a baseball to second base, you know, that's what God wants. God commanded me to throw a baseball to second base. And if I engage in that ritual, then like, that's going to be enough. So what Yeshayahu was talking about in the Haftorah that we're about to read is that there are people who believe that. God said, V'initem et nafshoteichem, that you should somehow afflict your souls, which we understand halachically to mean that we should not eat or drink and do other kinds of bodily activities, and that will be sufficient. That's what God wants, and if I do that, that somehow suffices for purposes of expiating sins on Yom Kippur. And Yeshayahu simply excoriates the community for having adopted what he considers to be such a superficial perspective on what it means to fast. Now, fasting, of course, means, in the technical sense, not eating or drinking. But Yeshayahu is going to explain that's but the surface. That's sort of but the choreography for a much deeper and more profound experience of the day of Yom Kippur. And that's really what this Haftorah is about. So it couldn't be more appropriate, you know, for us to read on the morning of Yom Kippur and for it to frame our day, but I'm going to do Yeshayahu one better. We'll even do it before Yom Kippur so we can think about it starting the night before. So it's taken from the 58th chapter, and we have here the first 12 verses of the Haftorah, which are really the critical verses as far as making this point is concerned. So the Navi says as follows. You can follow along if you want in the Hebrew or the English. The language of Yeshayahu is so singularly beautiful that it's criminal not to read it in the original. I'll translate as I go along. Krav garon al tachsoch. Call out in a loud voice, do not hold back. Hashofar harem kolecha. Lift up your voice like the shofar, of course, that we just sounded in Rosh Hashanah, right? That's part of the subtext of this pasuk. V'hagein la'ami pish'an u'levet Yaakov chatotam. And tell it like it is. Tell my nation their sins, the house of Jacob, their iniquities. V'oti, God says through the Nabi Yeshayahu, yom yom yidroshu. They say that they seek me out on a daily basis. V'da'at d'racha yechpatsu, that they desire to understand my ways. In other words, they're claiming they want to be close to me. Okay, that's the claim. Kagoy, as if they were a nation, asher tzedakah sa, that practices justice or righteousness. U'mishpat elohav lo azav, as if they had not abandoned my laws. Yishaluni mishpatei tzedek. So they seek to know from me the ways of righteousness and closeness to God or intimacy with God they desire. So you can already see the beginning of the critique. Now what is it? These people say they want to be close to God, but the irony is, what is their lifestyle? What have we already identified in this Haftorah? What's the lifestyle that these people have? What are they missing? Yeshayahu says it right off the bat. Well, it says they claim to be seeking out God, but what's their lifestyle? What do they not practice? Two critical words. Tzedakah u'mishpat. that they don't live righteously and they don't live in accordance with law. They're lawless and they are unjust. And we have to remember that, of course, the root of all of this is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was chosen, we were chosen as his descendants largely because of him, because it says about Avraham that he would teach his descendants, Vishamu Derech Hashem La'asot Tzedakah Mishpat, that he would teach us, meaning all of his descendants after, we're supposed to, of course, perpetuate the legacy, how to come close to God through acts of righteousness and justice. So God says, you're missing the fundamentals. You claim to be seeking me out. Maybe you come to my house, you offer a korban, whatever it is, but you don't have the basic prerequisites to come to understand me because you're living a ruthless lifestyle, not a compassionate lifestyle. You're living a lawless lifestyle instead of a disciplined lifestyle. Again, there's no tzedakah and mishpat, and yet they want to somehow come close to me. To come close to God is a very difficult thing. Remember, you know, God tells Moshe in that critical scene after the sin of the golden calf that no human being can really come close to God. So how much more so, kal vachomer, somebody who lacks the fundamentals of religious existence, which is basic kind of discipline, living within the law, mishpat, a basic kind of charitability, tzedakah. The person lacks that. Yeshayahu says, it's almost an absurdity that they're going to be able to come to know me. Lama tzamnu v'lo ra'ita. So they cry out, why is it that we fasted and, like, you know, you don't see God, it doesn't seem to register with you, the Jewish people cry out. Ininu nafshenu v'lo teda. We have afflicted ourselves, right? The Torah says in Parshas Amor, that we're supposed to afflict ourselves, and here we are, the Jewish people were crying out, we have afflicted ourselves, and it's as if you don't know. Hey, it's on the very day that you're fasting, and allegedly, superficially, you seek to come close to me, what you're really doing is you're doing your business on the side, and you're involved in oppressing people that you have various methods of business with. So what's the point? That for them the fast was a total ritual act. We can fast and we'll just keep on doing everything that we're doing. All the absence of tzedakah and mishpat will continue. It has no impact on who we are as people. There's no reflection. There's no introspection. There's no tshuva. There's no repentance that comes along with this fast. And the Jewish people are like beside themselves. They don't understand, why is it God that you're not paying attention? We're doing what you asked us to do. Right? So again, this scene. Hey, Lemihu Matzah Tatsumo. On the very day that you're fasting, you're engaged in disputes and contention. Uhapope egrof resha. Lo Tatsumu Chayon Lashmi Avaron Kochan. This kind of fast is not going to allow your voices to be heard at night. Hachazer Yiyatzon Echareinu. Is this what God desires? Is this the fast that God has chosen? Yom Anot Adam Nafsho. When a person superficially afflict himself or herself. Halachot kagmon rosho. Is a person just supposed to sort of bow their head superficially? Misak ba'efer yatsia. And they put on sackcloth and ashes. Havazetik ratzon. Is this really a legitimate and valuable experience, religiously speaking, this kind of fast? V'yom ratzon Hashem, something that God would desire? So rather, Yeshayahu says, halozetzom ebchareyu. You know what the fast that I choose is? Hateach hartzubot resha, open up the bonds of wickedness. Hakera gudot mota, let loose the ties, the bindings of iniquity. Vishalach ritzutim chofshim, and those who are crushed and oppressed should be set free. V'chol mota, and anybody who again has been oppressed and ateku, you shall release. Halo faros l'ra'ev lachnacha, extend your bread to those who are hungry. Fast day itself, which I understand. V'aniyim rudim tavibayit. Why don't you be hospitable to people who don't have a place to go, to people who are lonely, to people who are alienated, to people who are disaffected? Ki tereh arom v'chitzita. When you see somebody who's not clothed, so clothe them. Umibsarcha. And even from members of your own family, lo tit alam. Do not avert your eyes. So again, what is Yeshayahu saying? That if he wants to fast in a meaningful way, fast in such a way that whatever pain and discomfort you experience during the fast day becomes the basis for a little bit of an imaginative act. And you imagine, you know, I'm feeling a little bit hungry right now. I'm hungry every day. I'm a little bit uncomfortable right now. People are uncomfortable every single day.
are feeling a little bit afflicted right now. People are afflicted every single day. Right? I'm not wearing my normal shoes right now. I feel like they're mildly, naked, so to speak. Oh, by the way, there are people who do without clothes every single day. It's meant to be a catalyst for some searching and introspection about one's place in society and one's place in the world and how one is surrounded by people who are in genuine need of assistance. It's not supposed to be an outward ritual. Now, by the way, this does not mean that fasting isn't important. That's not what Yeshayahu was trying to say. But it's the foundation, the experience of afflicting oneself is meant to be the foundation through which one aspires to a more radical and substantive transformation of character. Without that, so then you're just doing ritual. When God needs me to fast just per se, that's not the point. The point is somewhat more ambitious than that. And so Yeshayahu goes on, Az yibakar ha-shachar urecha, your light, this is it, the beautiful Yeshayahu, will break through like the door, and your healing, in a spiritual sense, will flourish quickly. There's the word, staka. And it's staka that you will now practice will go in front of you. Kavod Hashem, yasvecha. And the glory of God will envelop you. Az tikra, then you will call out. Vahashem ya'anen, God will answer. You will be heard on high. Tishavav, yomar hineinu. God will answer you. Just like Abraham said, we read it on Rosh Hashanah. Hineinu. God will say, I am here for you. If you're willing to remove persecution from your community, thievery from your community, and evil speech, and you will extend forth, and we're going to try to develop this with him as we go along, and you will extend to the one who is hungry, not just your bread, but your soul itself. It's a very important question. We're going to come back to that. V'nefesh na'ana, and to the truly afflicted soul, right? God tells us once a year, but the other person is afflicted 364 other days of the year, you will address their afflicted soul. You will give them a sense of simya, sense of satisfaction. V'zarach ha'choshech urecha, and so your light will break through the darkness, v'afilatcha katzaharayim, and the darkness will be turned to midday. V'nachacha shem tamim, and God will guide you along the path, and he will quench the thirst of your soul, and he will strengthen you physically, even though you may feel physically diminished in the fast. On the contrary, you will be strengthened, and you will be like a flourishing garden, like an overflowing spring, which is not lacking for water. Vanu mincha chorvot olam. And they will build from you those desolations, those ruins, Mosteidor Vador Tikomein, the foundations of previous generations will be lifted up from the ground, there's a sense of fear, rejuvenation, renewal. Vikova Lacha Godir Peretz, and they will call you the one who stood in the breach. Peretz is a breach, but there is the one who was able to mend that breach, Mishovev Nitivot Lashavet, who is able to take paths that will be desolate and to resettle. So, in your own words, what do you think Yeshayahu would say that the experience of Yom Kippur should really be? What was Yeshayahu's fundamental critique of the Jewish people? And what's the message for us starting tomorrow night, again, less than 24 hours from now?
Sounds like they were very important to the plight of other people who live near them. And the fact that they were fasting and feeling all these things, he wanted them to take and understand their own community, what was going on.
Okay, good. So there's this deep lack of sensitivity and compassion. Okay? And that's translating into, again, the absence of tzedakah and mishpat. Siggy, why do you treat people fairly? Why should we treat people fairly? Maybe I should just take whatever I can get. If I can get 5, I'll take 5. If I can get 10, I'll take 10. Well, why don't I do that? Why shouldn't I do that? Why should I just take whatever I think I can get? It's fair, it's not fair, whatever I can impose on the other person. Why don't I do that? Why shouldn't I do that?
Well, you're halfway there. If you're on the right track of saying, I should do good. I should.
But
I should
why? Why should I do that? Why not just say, my week's right? Why does it really matter? So this guy's hungry. Big deal. I'm not. This guy's naked. Big deal. I'm not. What's the... Yeah, Eva.
I mean, you've said it over and over. It's our job to bring forth justice.
Right. So it, what it boils down to is, what do I see when I see another person? What do I see? Right. So if I see somebody created in God's image, and all of a sudden there are boundaries. Can't take what's not mine. Not only can I not take what's not mine, I'm responsible to him or to her. But the Jewish people have lost total sight of that. They say, we want to come close to God. And God says, wait, you want to come close to me? My children are all around you, and you neglect them. So think about, again, what I call the absurdity of the proposition. They say, yom yom yidroshu. They call out to me, they want to know and come close to God. So imagine going to a parent and say, you know, I'd really like to get to know you better. And the person, individual parent, has three children your age, and you treat them terribly. And what do you think the parent would say? Well, that's a little funny, right? You know, you're interested in getting to know me. Well, there's a lot of me around you, and you don't seem to be taking an interest in that. So if Yom Kippur, again, is a day that we constantly emphasize, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, become as close to God as possible, and thereby we are purified, right? So there's a lot of divinity around us if only we're willing to see it. We could act like God acts. What do we say about God? Poteach et yadecha, u'masfil l'chol chai ratzon. God gives, he's Rav Chesed, there's abundant overflowing kindness. There's a lot of divinity around us, both in terms of how we can behave, and in terms of that which has been created in Tzelem Elokim, which is suffering all around us. There's all this opportunity, and if we don't take it, so then, you know, it's a little bit, again, absurd when we call out to God and we say, you know, we want to come close to you, and God says, oh, really? But, okay? So what Yeshayahu was observing is that the very notion of fasting, the very notion of Yom Kippur, had almost become a mockery in his generation. Lama tzamnu, the people would call out, v'lo ra'ita. We afflicted ourselves, isn't that good enough for you, God? And God said, no, it's not good enough. That's not the point. If Yom Kippur doesn't somehow impact the way that you think about the world, if Yom Kippur doesn't translate to the rest of the year, so then there's something empty, there's something very deficient about it. You know, again, somebody who says, this is such an important point to make in this context, Echta, I'll sin now, but it's okay. Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. Yom Kippur will expiate me. You know what the halacha is? Yom Kippur is not effective for them at all. Because it's manipulative. That person thinks that Yom Kippur is some ritual act, that you just go through this process, and that's enough. It's like a car wash. You just drive through the car wash, and all of a sudden you're clean. Right? So by analogy, somebody who says, well, I fasted, isn't that good enough? And God says, no, because what did you learn from it? So let's take a look on the back and we'll see how this plays itself out in general. Now, there's a principle with respect to any fast day that transcends Yom Kippur. The Gemara Brachos says, Agra d'tanisa. You know what the reward you get for fasting is? It's not for depriving yourself of food. It's not for depriving yourself of water. It's not even for depriving yourself of coffee. That's a very big sacrifice. Agra d'tanisa tzidkasa. The reward for fasting is if you gave tzedakah that day. Just by the way, why we only read the Haftorah in a typical fast, we only read the Haftorah in the afternoon. And the reason for that is that Haftorah, also taken from Yeshayahu, three chapters earlier, this time the 55th chapter, says, Shimru mishpat va'asu tzedakah, right? That you're supposed to do tzedakah. And Tosos explains, the reason we don't read that Haftorah in the morning is because people may not have given tzedakah yet. People haven't had the chance to give tzedakah. It would be kind of an indictment to read that pasuk, that you're supposed to give tzedakah, and nobody gave tzedakah yet. So we wait until the afternoon, mincha of the fast day, to read that. That's why we always try to emphasize the importance of fasting. And by the way, for people who are not physically able to fast, and they say, how can I best participate in the fast? I always quote this tomorrow and say, the essential point of fasting is to engage in acts of compassion and kindness. It's supposed to be a little bit of affliction, so you become more sensitive to other people's plight. Agra to ta'anisa tzedakasa. That's the best way to participate for people who are medically unable to participate in various fasts. The Gemara from Abbasis says something that many people can't believe. But Joseph's reading the Gemara, right? And it's based on our psukim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, this is the third source. Kol nosin puta la'ani, person who will give a coin, some monetary amount to an indigent person, misbarech v'sheish brachos. So he'll be blessed six times over. V'hamifayso v'dvarim, but somebody who gives a kind word, right? It doesn't say gives a coin and a kind word. That's what Joseph points out. Let's say you don't give anything monetarily, but you give a kind word, misbarech v'yudalef brachos, they'll be blessed 11 times over. And it's based on the verses that we read together, especially that part where we read, v'safek l'ra'ev nafshecha v'nefesh na'anet hasfiyah. When you extend your soul, not necessarily even your money, but your soul to the one who's hungry, and to the afflicted soul, you provide satisfaction. So what's the Gemara suggesting? That within the realm of tzedakah, perhaps the most important thing is not even the dollar amount. That you get six blessings for, it's a good thing to do. But somebody who gives, somebody who's suffering, a little bit of dignity, a kind word, a truly compassionate moment, the person feels understood, and they feel validated, they feel a little bit less of a sense of isolation for just a moment. So that's almost twice as good, the Gemara says. Just do the math. The first one gives you six blessings, the second one gives you 11. So within the Jewish ethic of tzedakah, the essential point is not dollar. Within the Jewish ethic of tzedakah is, did you acknowledge that person? Do you acknowledge their suffering? Do you acknowledge their sorrow? Do you acknowledge what it was that was bothering themselves? And that's an even greater love. So again, with Yeshayahu, the way that Chazal, the way that this Gemara understands it, was pointing to, was it wasn't just the Jewish people weren't being charitable, because that could also be a ritual. You see a poor person say, okay, go away, here's $10, okay, go away, here's $10. If you go away really quickly, I'll give you $20. That's not what's done. Yeshayahu was asking them to do was to see some humanity in the other person. And by the way, it wasn't just people they didn't know, but what did we say? Umi bisarcha lo tzedalam, even from your own flesh. Unfortunately, there are people, they see other people, or people who are needy, they have like this revulsion, right? You're dirty, you're poor. Right? Here, just take the money and go, right? Get out of my... That's not tzedakah and mishpah. The Gemara, in fact, goes further and says, if you give somebody $1 million, you give somebody elef zehuvim, but if you degrade the person in the process, you don't even get credit for doing the mitzvah of tzedakah. You're building it, so you don't even get credit for the mitzvah of tzedakah. And then the Gemara says, conversely, as we just read, you don't give a dollar, you don't give a penny, but you give a person a little bit of dignity, you get twice as much reward, nearly, as you're giving the person money. And there are many other Gemaras that make the exact same point. So again, the emphasis in this Haftorah, these are all derived from the Haftorah, is that there has to be some way for us to rediscover our compassionate roots. Our roots in, again, the Chesed, and the Tzedakah, and the Mishpat of Avram. And one of the ways of doing that is by fasting, is by afflicting ourselves just a little bit, not in a dangerous way, right? That's why, God forbid, if somebody is in a medically compromised situation, you don't consider it to be an act of righteousness, an act of foolishness. An act which is not consistent with halachic living for a person to endanger themselves. So we don't allow people to endanger themselves, but a little bit of reflection so people can reflect for just a moment and think, well, gee, there are people who are uncomfortable literally every single minute of every single day. And you know what? They're all around me. And there's a secret. They're all around you. They're all around us. And things that we may take for granted are things that they can whether it's their physical health, whether it's their mental health, whether it's the ability to get up and go to work, or the ability to get up and go to school. And these things can never be taken for granted. It's all around us. Food insecurity, it's housing insecurity, it's a lack of clothing, it's a sense of total loneliness and isolation. It's all around us. Every single day. And when we go through our daily motions,
right? We have very high barriers that we construct, so we don't see it. We're busy, we have to run, these kinds of things. So it protects us, right? It's a way of us insulating ourselves from the pain and suffering all around us. The fast is supposed to basically just be a way of breaking that down for a minute, saying, stop, break your routine, experience a little bit of discomfort, and understand that there are people who are living with massive discomfort, with enormous pain all around us every single day. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, speaking to this sense of trying to reform our character. So the Rambam always tells us that a tannis, a fast, is Nidarchei Tshuva. But certainly, while this is true in general, it's doubly and triply true of Yom Kippur when it is a fast of Tshuva, right? Again, every single fast of the year, right? The Rambam always says Nidarchei Tshuva, whether it's Tzom Gedalia, whether it's Yasser Simei Tshuva, whether it's the Tevis, the Tshuva Asara Tammuz, Yom Tishuva, it's Tannis Esther in its own way, right? It's a day of Tshuva, as it was during the time of Megillah. But the most, without any question, the most Tshuva-oriented of all of the fast days is for sure Yom Kippur. So the Rambam says the following. Al Tomar, She'ein Tshuva El Me'avero She'esh Ve'chansa. Person should not think superficial about Tshuva. Say, what are repentance is? Repentance means if I steal, I have to stop stealing. If I speak disparagingly to other people, I should stop. If I'm constantly telling lies, I should stop. That's a superficial understanding of what repentance is. That's important. If you're stealing, you shouldn't steal. If you're lying, you shouldn't lie. If you're disparaging other people, then you shouldn't disparage them. If you're embarrassing them, you shouldn't embarrass them. Right? There are all these kinds of things. But that's not the essence of tshuva. Al tumam, where the Rambam says, she'in tshuva, me'aviru she'ish ben masa. He goes, no, it's gezel, beneva, thievery, fornication, etc. El, rather, says the Rambam, to change the tariq adam ashuv me'el, where just like a person has to repent of these actions, can't stop there. By the same token, kach mitzarech l'chapes, a person has an obligation to affirmatively introspect v'deos ro sheyeshlo through their mind. V'lashuv, and to return, let's count the seven, min hakas, anger, v'min ha'eva, a sense of animus, or animosity, min hakena, a person who's jealous, min ahitl, frivolity, a person whose orientation to the world is not serious, meredipas hamamon, materialism, v'apavod, et ego, and prestige, or meredipas hamachalos, and a person who's a hedonist, v'chayotze v'hen, and more things like that. I mean, a person has to engage in a wholesale search of his personality and her character. And to think, who am I? Am I basically a generous person or basically a selfish person? A hard question to ask. Am I somebody who basically is here to take what I can get from other people? 5, 10, 15, 20, better the best that by a person who basically thinks that I should try to give as much as I can afford to give to other people. As much as I can give. Monetarily, emotionally, psychologically, religiously, etc. We have to go through that process. The aim of bonus, and these sins, the Rambam says, sins of character, basic deficiencies of character, caution, they are worse. May osan shiyesh bahen maisa, from those where there is an affiliated action, such as stealing, etc. Shebizman sha'adam nishka ve'evo. Very important term. To be shakua literally means to be submerged or ensnared. You might not say a person is ensnared, but ensnared by stealing. But a person can certainly be ensnared by anger. It's consumed their personality. A person can be corrupted. The Rambam says, "Bisman she'adam nishka ve'elu, kasha hu lifrosh mehen." It's extremely difficult to extract himself. The thing Omer, as the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, this is the haftarah of the typical fast day. Yazov v'rasha derko v'ish aven machshavosav. That it's not enough to abandon the action, but yazov v'rasha derko, the entire way of life.
and the process of thought as well. The Rambam tells us something truly extraordinary. Now, there is a great dispute amongst the Rishonim of what we call Tosefes Yantif or Tosefes Shabbos, whether or not there's a Torah level law to dispute of extending Shabbos a little bit into Friday afternoon, a little bit into Saturday night, whether that's a Torah level law, whether it's rabbinic law. So it turns out that the view of the Rambam is that it never is a Torah level law. Not on Shabbos, not on Rosh Hashanah, not on Sukkot, not on Pesach, not on Shavuot. It's never a Torah level law to extend the day except on Yom Kippur. Only one day a year. And only with respect to the afflictions, not with respect to the abstention of the law. That's the Rambam's. There is a concept of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. It's a Torah level law of extending Yom Kippur, the fast, a little bit before, and a little bit after. And that's the extent. That is to say, and it's highly symbolic, for the Rambam, there's only one day of the year that, halakhically speaking, must attach itself to a little bit of the day before and a little bit of the day after. There's only one day a year that's measured by its ability to impact that which comes before it and after, that its ability to exert its influence on the rest of the year. And that day is Yom Kippur. And I think it's largely rooted in the Haftorah that we read tonight. If Yom Kippur is a one-day-a-year experience, and it stays there, and a person then goes back to the routine, then it wasn't Yom Kippur. If a person's sense of inui, of affliction, is limited to Yom Kippur itself, from nightfall, from the night of the 10th of Tishrei, until nightfall, going to the 11th of Tishrei, and that's it, that's what a person thinks Yom Kippur is, then it's limited to that one day a year, and they're going to go back to 364 days a year. That's a terrible thing. They got nothing out of it. But Yom Kippur, for it to be halakhically effective, has to spill over a little bit. Grab a little bit of the ninth petition of Chodesh for Erev, may Erev ad Erev tish betu shabbas fed, and to take a little bit of the 11th as well, because the entire concept of Yom Kippur is that one day a year, get in touch with their deepest priorities. It's not just a fast day, they get another fast day, but as you read in this Haftorah, this special Haftorah, it's not the typical Haftorah that's designated for all the fast days, which say, again, Shemru Mishpah, Basut, Setah, this goes beyond that. It talks about a fundamental relationship with the world. We see the suffering that surrounds us. We come to understand that if we're going to come close to God and Yom Kippur, if we aspire, as we do aspire, on this day of year, the Tnei Hashem Kitaru, there's a roadmap to get there. And it's the road called Tzedakah, and it's a path called Mishpat. And without that, without those elements, you'll never get to Hashem. You'll see Yom Yom Yidroshu. You'll seek me out constantly, and you'll never come any closer. Lama Tzamu Gulayita will continue to complain. Why do you stay distant from us? And God's answer is because it'll be very distant from me. Because to be close to me, as another Yirmiyahu said, Kim Bezosis Halahan is Halah. What should a person be praised in doing? Hasiel, be very wise, be Adoa Osi, and come to know him. Who am I, God says? Kemi Hashem, Osechesed Tzedaka Mishpat Ba'aretz. I am the God of compassion. I'm the God of righteousness, I'm the God of lawfulness. This is what I want. I want to come close to me and see how they go, so you can do those things. That's the sine qua non, that's the road to do. So if Yom Kippur stays within the halakhic values of Yom Kippur time-wise, you can't. You can't. It's not working. It just went through the fast superficially. But if it can spill over, if it can impact the rest of it, then it's what it's really all about. Hello, Zed, so Echarei. That is the fast day that God says, I want the Nefesh Na'anet Haspia, the one whose soul is afflicted, and you reached out to that person, that you brought that person closer, will be Mesacha Lo Titalam, even from your own family, people who are suffering, that you do not avert your eyes. This is the goal of Yom Kippur. It's the one day in the earth. It's the Achas Vashana that's really meant to impact and to color and to energize the rest of the year with
clear values. And the bar is very high in terms of executing those values. We all understand what they are in terms of our orientation to the world around us. Yani Hashem, the Chesed Mishpat and Stuck of Aretz, Kim Eila Chabatzi, Tavun, this Yom Kippur, 5780, we'll really be able to internalize this when we prepare, when we get up to the Haftorah, to hear the message of Yeshayahu very clearly. To hear the voices, and through Yeshayahu's voice, of those around us who are experiencing all kinds of problems in this world. Again, as I enumerated before, problems of health, problems of mental health, problems of finances, problems of relationships, it's all around us. And again, tear down those barriers, as Yeshayahu referred to over and over again, to undo the ropes, to untie those who are bound, to let loose those who feel so confined and so constrained in life. This, of course, is the ultimate key and the ultimate fulfillment of the Inui of Yom Kippur, as it challenges us to, as Rambam said, not just to engage in a superficial tshuva, it's important enough to stop doing inappropriate actions, but to engage in serious character reformation, to ask ourselves in the deepest possible way, the chapes rather, to search the deos haro sheyeshlo, those are the most important forms of tshuva that we can engage in, to actually reform our character itself. Which everybody can actually see the Torah, we should all be inscribed and sealed.
I will do slichos, then I gotta leave and pick up the kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.